Zeche Nishmas Avi Mori Yaakov Nitzel Piches, Zeche Nishmas Daniel Ashen, Bas Yeshua Falk. Okay, good morning, everybody. Yesterday we spoke about the idea of Tfisa, of touch, you know, that you're not supposed to wear gloves when you do the mitzvah. It's interesting, the past 2 weeks I was zocheh to be a sandik at two different brisin. So one mile, you know, insisted I wear gloves, and the other one did not insist. So interesting. So I would think that could be part of the same idea of, you know, just like being b'toifes without a batei yadayim for the challah, and then kosher bracha, and then this. So who are then for the milah as well? So again, the other mile probably thought, as we said, that even though there still should be a din l'chatchila not to use gloves, but if it's a question of sickness or sakana or something like that, then we wouldn't wear the gloves, because not to misakin anybody.
There's no din at a meal that the sandek has to be toe-faced. I mean, it's a practical matter, he does, but is there a din that he's supposed to be toe-faced?
Because l'maisa, there's a medrash, the Alkut Shimoni, the kol on the pasuk kol atzmosai tomarna, that kol atzmosai tomarna. So they talk about doing mitzvahs with different parts of your body. So it could be that maybe, you know, I don't know. Based on that medrash, maybe there's something to say based on that. Okay.
Rebbe, I was thinking this week's parsha, we see the Moshe Rabbeinu to come close to Hashem, has to take off his shoes. Now, it's not gloves, but we see this idea of maybe removing clothing, or at least certain clothing.
That's interesting. Okay. Now, today's packet, I made a mistake when I said yesterday that we're going to do the packet about how far the bread has to be. That's a coming packet, but not today's packet. About if you have the, you know, the Sefer Torah far away from you, or the bread far away from you, is the bracha kol on that. That's a Be'ez Hashem, an up and coming packet, but not today's packet. Okay, so today's packet is something that I always speak about. And packet hay. And something I always talk about, but it's important to know exactly what the makor is for what. And that is when you're giving out the challah, and a lot of times people pass one to the other, there is an inyan, and we'll see where this inyan is, not to pass the challah directly. Not to hand. And a lot of people just hand, right? A lot of people just hand the bread to the guy next to him or whatever. And it's brought down, and we'll see what the source is, not to do that. Not to pass bread to your fellow person sitting next to you, and we'll see what's that based on. And does everyone agree to that? So it says, "Habotzeya hu poshet yado tchila." The botzeya gives out the bread tchila. V'imba lachlok kavod l'rabo l'misha gadol heimenu harshus biyado. So, but if he wants to, so normally it means that in other words, you're the botzeya, you're the one who's cutting the bread, so you take for yourself first, and then you give to other people. But if you want to give cover to your Rebbe, then you're allowed to give it to someone you want to mechabit. But the Pashup Shat is first you give it yourself. So we'll see.
Rebbe, I don't understand. This person has said the bracha, and now now he would give somebody else to eat it before himself?
Yeah, well, he would give him the bread. So take a look in the Tosfos. Asami kutzi ay omrim batzah ha-mavarach v'nasum l'cholecha l'chalko ein tzarech l'hamtin cholecha ha-chayitam ha-mavarach. V'adam rin hocha ein ha-mesubim ha-shoim litom hainu l'hakdim v'livtzoa min ha-pas ha-batzah ha-mavarach v'acha sh'nasum l'cholecha l'chalko ein kipeida. In other words, the idea that the mesubim are not allowed to eat before the mevarech is lahakdim v'levtzoh min hapas shebotzah mevarech. Now, if the mevarech was botzah min hapas, so if the mevarech cut down the bread, so he shouldn't take a piece and start eating. But if he went ahead and he gave everyone, then he could eat even before the no water. He could eat before, even before the botzeah. He made a bracha. He doesn't have to wait. Let the botzeah eat first. You see, he made the bracha. If the botzeah gives out. If he doesn't give out, then he should wait for, you know, him to eat first. But if he gave out, so it's more like a derech eretz dika halacha. That if he gave to you, then you could eat even before him. But if he didn't give to you, and he started cutting the pieces, and now you just take on your own, then that would not be a probably proper derech eretz. So that's the okay. But so the same thing over here. If he made a motzi and he wants to give something to his Rebbe first before himself, he could do that. And even though the Rebbe is going to be eating before he's going to eat it, he made the motzi and everyone heard the motzi. They answered amen. Now who eats? So normally the botzeah should eat first. But if he wants to give covent to someone else and let him eat first, so be it. He could do that. Even though that person now will be eating the bread before the botzeah ate from the bread. Okay, so that's the first thing. But take a look now in the Rambam. Says the Rambam.
Is it a practical thing? Because a lot of times people will speak before you eat, and that gets into problems.
If what? If you make a motzi.
Yeah, but a lot of people. If you're mostly a lot of people, and you wait to, if you wait to get to your Rebbe, someone's going to say something. You know, if someone might speak, that gets into different problems.
So that's going to be the last shiurim we have. Is on that topic. But look at the Rambam now, on the second page. Dr. Rambam, Habotzei nosim prusu lefnei kol echad v'echad, v'achen notel biyodo. So Habotzei gives a prusu in front of everyone, and the other one takes it. But ein Habotzei nosim biyada ochel amkein haya ovel. Whereas, and this, I always say, tell people this, and not everyone does this, but he says, you shouldn't hand the motzi to your fellow Jew. Because that's a minig of avelis. That's a minig of avelis. And of course, we never want to do minhag and avelis when we're not avelim. Because that could bring an ayin hara or something like that. That's why, you know, a lot of times, sometimes I see people, you know, in the library, they have these stools. So the stools are usually made that you step up the stool, that's where you can get something from high. But sometimes people sit on the stool to get something from low. So it always bothered me because that's a minhag of avelus. And you see from this halacha that if you're not an avel, you shouldn't do minhagi avelus. So, you know, ideas of sitting, etc. So it seems this is one of the early sources, this Rambam. We'll have to see who else says it. But Rambam writes, Ein habotze rashai, Ein habesubim, Ein habotze nose biyad ha'ochel, Elam kein haya ovel. So, you know, sometimes people were, I remember somebody once came to my house for Shabbos. He was very machpid not to wear, not to wear shoes, not to just wear barefoot. Maybe that's also, obviously a minhag of avelus. So how far do we go with these things that maybe are considered minhag of avelus, and therefore maybe are doing something that chas v'shalom could be an ayin hara? For that a person's acting can be an ovel and chas v'shalom, that can maybe bring an ayin hara of sorts.
We're referring to the botzea, but we're not saying ha'avarda. So, right? Are they lechor? It's the same thing.
The botzea is the botzea is usually the bavarch.
Does it have to be?
You mean well. Doesn't have to be, but practically, if you don't do it that way, then it's going to be a big hefsek, because you're going to have one person mevarech, or one person. I guess if you do it like the botzeya cuts a little, then what? And then he's going to give it to someone, make the bracha, and then he's going to give it back. So it's going to be.
It's going to be. You have to give back. You can have one guy say the bracha on one side of the table, and the other guy who's really fast at handing things out. Quickly rips up the bread and cuts it up.
So one guy is going to what? He's going to... What is he going to do?
You first have the guy say, start the cut. I'm assuming it's Shabbos.
He's going to start the cut. Let's say... Right. He's not going to start the cut.
And he's not going to do a full cut. Then you have the guy next to him say, how about you like a menorah?
Right.
And then another guy quickly goes. Starts cutting it up, and so now there's lots of
accent. And then he's going to finish up.
And then he starts passing it out. And then a third guy eats it before either of the two, it sounds like. Or you could conceive of such a situation.
So you want to say the first guy's going to cut, the second guy's going to make the bracha.
And then a third guy could eat it.
But who's going to finish the cutting?
No, the
same
guy who initiates the cut, he'll finish the cut.
Right, but then you have to pass it back.
Why do you pass it? I'm saying, would you say the person that the Havarah has to hold the bread?
Yeah, that's the thing we said yesterday. Right?
So they could be sitting next to each other.
Yeah, but even sitting next to each other, the fact that you're going to pass it over is going to take... I don't think anything is likuva. But once we have these halachas that we're trying to minimize so ad kedei kach in the amount of time.
I'm interested in the lashon of the Gemara and the Rambam as how would say. Just thought you'd say habavar.
Yeah, because that's a valid point. But I just think it's just a given that the botzei is going to be the mevar.
I like to ask on this also. I remember once going to a Rebbe for Shal Shunis, and the Rebbe cut the bread. You know, he made the hamotzi for everyone. He cut the bread. He ate himself, and then he had his shamish. He gave each piece of bread after that. He told the shamish, "This one is for this one. This one is for this one." And the shamash would take the bread and bring it to the person.
Right.
So is that maybe the diak over here in the Rambam that the botzeya himself, maybe he can't give it, but if you have a person in between, maybe that's...
Well, he was handing it? In this case, you saw them handing it? Or
I don't...
Well, not necessarily handing it, they just put it in front of him.
I think
one on a tray.
On the tray.
But I don't remember 100%.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not handy.
Probably not. Okay. Yeah. But I'm saying, in that scenario, if he handed it, would that still stem with the Rambam?
No, it won't. It won't stem with the Rambam. The question is, are there other shitas? We'll see. We'll see what other shitas are there out there.
Remember, there's a pasuk, Botzeya Beireich. Botzeya Beireich. So you see that the Botzeya was Tavari.
Oh. Okay.
Botzeya Beireich.
Right. Right. The Gemara in Sanhedrin speaks a lot about that pasuk. Take a look now in the Halachas Gedolos, the Bahag, on page 4. I apologize for not bracketing and arrowing this for page 4, but you can look, it's still here. The paragraph, Beves HaOvel. You see the paragraph that begins on the right side? Beves HaOvel Paris Gadol V'yahiv Umtza D'Hamotzi LaOvel. So he makes a prusa, he cuts, and then he gives him to the avel, mishum persasion biyadeha ve'ein menachem la. So this is one of the sources that to give a prusa biyadayim ve'ein menachem la, that's a minhag avelos
echa. Gadol refers to the man or the piece?
I think the man.
Alright.
So these are the early sources. Somebody would ask you, where does it say that it's a minhag of avelos? So the Rambam has it, and then the Halachas Gedolos, the Gaonim. So it goes back far. You know, it's not just it predates the Gemara even. I don't mean that. I mean, he predates the Rishonim. I mean, Persiyam Tziyaviyadav Eimenachem La. And that's the Pasuk here in Eicha, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yitzayim. And if you look here, on page 5, Persa Tziyon Biyadav Eimenachem La. Tziva Hashem Yaakov Tziyot Tzarov. I say Yishalayim Ganida Beinayim. So this is impressive. As the Bahag quotes as the minhag of Persisil, of giving the Prusa Biyadeha, of being a minhag of Avelis. And if you look at the Avudraham on page 7. Says the Avudraham on page 8. Arina Paragimel Shlosha Shachlo. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Meshum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai Balabais Botzeya. Right, the Balabais is Botzeya. Kidesh Yiftza Ba'ayin Yofa. Vish Machla Dover Meshachosa Ve'echo Paslechem. Lomar Kechu Paslechem. Whereas, right, Avram Avinu, Ve'echo Paslechem. I'm going to take the paslechem and give it out. He doesn't say, you go and take. Because maybe they'll be embarrassed. They won't want to take a nice portion. Because of the Rambam would say, no sin prusa l'fnei kol echa v'echad. V'echad no tel b'yodo. V'edo no sin b'yad ha'ochel. V'okei in ha'yo ovel. V'efshar shatam zem mishum shenemar p'versi zion b'yodeha. V'remez l'prusas ha'motzi. So the Avud Ramo as well quotes this minhag. And if you look here in the Beis Yosef on page 9, it says Kosev Rambam, Perek Zayin, Habotzei Nosim Prusa Lufnei Kol Echad VeEchad, Achen Notel Prusa BiYodo Vein Habotzei Nosim BiYad HaOchel and Kein Haya Olov. Kosev, then he quotes the Avud Ramo that we just saw. And it says if Tshuvas Harashba. Because of Tam Zeb Shem Bahag, Shalom Minayin Bahag, Laram Zeb, Eishiv Zeb, Yidivir Chacham, Hulahem, Bevadai, Umokim, Yadu, Hayoli, Bezeb, Shachachti. So, in other words, the Beis Yosef, they asked the Beis Yosef, where did the Rambam and the Baha get this from? He said they got it from someplace. I don't remember. He says, "Vazev shachti." He says, "Acha b'dika eshlach lo hodiacha." So he says, "I'll tell you if I find it." And then the Beit HaChabayis is the Beis Yosef's addendums on his Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef himself writes the Beit HaChabayis. He says, "Vani mitzosiv eicha rabosi." Because of Harav Harabeinu Manoch Hashem Gaon in the Shabbos Paros Kedaka she'ein aveilus b'Shabbos. But on Shabbos, Paros Kedaka she'ein aveilus b'Shabbos.
What does that mean? I mean, you could give it out with by hand on Shabbos.
Because of Harav Harabeinu Manoch Hashem Gaon in the Shabbos Paros Kedaka. So is that what he's saying? She'ein aveilus b'Shabbos. So there's no aveilus b'Shabbos. So it was. So if he would do that, that would be. That's what he's saying. If he would hand it directly, that would be a ma'isa aveilus. So therefore, you don't hand it directly. But he's saying that. That you don't hand it directly on Shabbos. We're saying aveilus b'Shabbos. During the week, when he's in Avil, you could hand directly because it's aveilus. But you shouldn't hand
it. Kedarka, I mean, though. Doesn't very kedarka sound like meaning you could do it how you would do it without being careful?
Well, he says b'Shabbos paras kedarko. Ain't available for Shabbos. So
sounds like any way you want.
Is that how you learn Kedarko? The Shabbos for us Kedarko. She ain't available for Shabbos. So if you do the regular way, since there's no available for Shabbos, so you're saying Yehuda is saying that you could do it anyway. Because since the Ein Avelis B'Shabbos, so this is not considered Derech Avelis because there's no Avelis B'Shabbos.
Can I mean the regular way, which is not to give it directly?
And you're saying the opposite. You're saying the regular way is not to give directly. So therefore, and therefore what? What is he saying?
Since there's no avilus in Shabbos, you should do it like he would do for someone who's not an avil, which is like the Rambam said, just to put it in front of him.
So therefore, you should do it in front of him because ain't avilus for Shabbos. So he's saying that you do it kedarko, meaning regularly.
I think maybe kedarko means any way you want.
Any way you want.
Do it however he wants to do it, he can do it.
And David Tanner is saying no. He's saying do it dafka kedarka, meaning a way not doing minhag aveilus. Because if you do it,
so if you're saying that, then what are you saying?
we
were going to do that anyways before he said that.
Why do you need to be told that? Because he's an avil, so you were going to give it to him directly, like minhag aveilin. But since Shabbos, you do it like a regular person. You don't give it directly. Just put it in front.
So you're on Shabbos, you're an avil, so on Shabbos, you would have. So normally, during the week, you would hand it to him. So on Shabbos, you shouldn't hand it to him because he's an avil for Shabbos. Because we're talking about someone who's an avil, that's what you say. Okay. I think that's reasonable. But obviously we're talking about Zanovel. So he says, so then during the week you hand it to him. And on Shabbos, you don't hand it because ain't available for Shabbos. I think that's a good shot. No? I think, if you think about it, I think it's a good shot.
I mean, why does it say Michelle Wu? Is he talking about himself in third person? Is that just like a lashon of, or... was he referring to be serious of writing about someone else, or is he writing about himself?
Vishaluhu.
And he says, Vishaluhu minayin lemahag laramam zeh. Oh, it means...
So Shalul to the Rashba.
Oh, to the Rashba.
Shuvah to Rashba, because of Tam zeh b'shem rabahag. Vishaluhu minayin lemahag laramam. How do they know this din? That it's a minhag avelus. So he says, somewhere. I don't know where it is. I have to look it up. Rashba says. So
the Medica
bias.
Medica bias, it says so.
Yeah, so the Medica bias is the Beis Yosef. So he's saying the Rashba forgot where it was, and I did some research and I found it.
Am I thinking of Torah's bias?
Yeah, Torah's bias is the Rashba. The Medica bias is after the Beis Yosef wrote his whole parish, he proofread and he added other comments. So the Berakha Bias is his additional comments on his own work.
Rabbi, I don't understand this minhag like in general. Meaning, whenever you're going to have a suda during the week, an agal is supposed to hand everybody their bread as opposed to place it in front of them. Like, and this is a minhag? Everybody knows the minhag that you have to sit down, that you don't sit in a regular chair. Everybody knows you cover your mirrors. Everybody knows. People have me know these men. These are, but how you give the bread, this is like a thing. And what are we talking about? Is this for...
That's the Rambam says it's a thing.
How many of us...
And the Bahag says it's a thing. What?
How many of us make hamotzi and the ovel as a guest at our table? I mean, that's not the usual way of doing it. So, you know, it's not an occasion that arises a lot.
That... Avel, you're saying Avel means Tach Shiva.
Yes.
Tach Shiva.
Or does it? What does an Avel mean here?
Or does an Avel mean...
Clearly means Tach Shiva.
Tach Shiva, okay. Tach Shiva. And therefore we dafka don't do it in general because we don't want to do a minhag avelus to somebody. We don't want to be noheg... Somebody who's not an Avel, we don't want to be noheg... A minhag avelus to him.
Again, we're going to invite a guy who's sitting avelus over to our home, and it's not Shabbos. I mean, it just doesn't happen in our community. So
yeah,
so
doesn't happen. Right, that's what you say. I mean, it's just
not generally known.
Right. This is why this minhag is not known.
Right. But it's more relative in the negative that when the person's not an avel, you shouldn't be doing this.
Right, or to anybody on any other time of year, right.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
How do you know that he's talking about the Eichel as the Ovel? Maybe the Beit Seah as an Ovel.
Maybe the Beit Seah is an Ovel, but he's lush.
His father's an Ovel in his house.
Yeah.
Who is the Hoya?
Ellen Kane Hoya. Ellen Kane Hoya Ovel. So Pasha's is, if Eina would say no to be at her Ochel, Elim Kane Haya Ovel.
This idea of Avelis to hand to hand is like the Rebbe, the Chavrai asking, is the Ovel can't give, has to give?
Well, Pashas, I think it means if you hand something to the Ovel, so that's.
Well, based on the Makar, what is the Makar for this? The Medrash Neifa, what is that?
Yeah, so.
Why does it show Avelis?
Precious
young if I had five people at my house and one of them was an Avel and it's not Shabbos and I'm breaking off the bread, so then I'm going to put it in front of everybody except the Avel, I'm going to hand it to them? Is that the correct
right
way to act?
Exactly. Precious young Biodea of the Avel. Yeah, that's the right, exactly. That's how the Rambam would act. and the Bahagura.
Which is
and if the Botzei is a novel?
If the Botzei is a novel, so then he, if he hands it to the
student, so that, that's... Hand it, but the other guy is not a novel.
He shouldn't hand it to... Well, no, he...
So maybe it's only a question when you're receiving it. And
you're a novel. Yeah, right. When you're receiving it and you're a novel, that's the proper thing. But if you're not a novel and you're receiving it, then you're not supposed to do that because he's not a novel.
Is it like the idea of pouring backwards to a novel? You know, they shouldn't pour upside down, right?
Yeah, so we don't want you to do things that are minhagei avelus unless the person's a novel. So if he's not a novel, then... then they'll do that. Let's see more.
What is it, a superstition kind of thing? Or is it a...
So I always used to think, maybe I still think, that that if you're knowing a minhag avelus to somebody that's not an ovel, you're, it's sort of like an ayin hara. You're giving him, you're treating him like an ovel when he's not like an ovel. It's interesting because the Rambam is not so much a, you know, Rambam's known, you know, as a rationalist. You know, not so much as a, you know, I inherit the gaf, you know, thing. And but Mustama the Rambam got it from the Bahak. Rambam was a big Talmud of the Gaonim, right? So and so the earliest source we've seen is in the Bahak. We don't see it in the Gemara. And we don't see it in most Rishonim. We see it only in the Rambam, and the Rambam very often followed the Gaon. That was his whole. I have to stop Pella Satan, right? That type of thing.
That's a Gemara. The Rambam has to hold of it.
He has to hold of it. So the question is, even if you're not poser pe, but you're doing him a nihog of avelus, so maybe that's also not proper. Then the pasuk continues, Birchas Hashem Yisashiv L'Yosiv Etzav Ima. So take a look in the Yalkut Shemoyni here on page 12. Birchas Hashem Yisashiv Zeh Shabbos. L'Yosiv Etzav Ima Zeh Ovel. And there's Tani Beis Ovel B'chol Paris Menachem Yoiv Le'Ovel. So that's a minhag of avelus. And this, the Rashba, if you want to see where he writes that he forgot the source, it is the Chuvus here on page 14. There was a quote to Rambam. He says, Emel came from Ovel, and then he quotes the Bahag. Now the Munkat Rebbe in the Mukhi Arachayim discusses this idea as well. On page 16, he says, "Remes leprusas amoshes nosim biyodu b'shas avemus." Hatkan loshen mechaber alon. V'um rafs enigim lechad hatamua asher ha'olam lo nog lizar b'zaklal. So the Munkacher says the olam is not makpid to be nizar on this. V'gam atamidi chacham hagdoyut. We're not nizar on this. At the table of the Rebbe Melublin, are you mechalkim? I'll be mitzvahs of chadosu prusas gedolos chadus motzi chol haboy mukabel v'chasel. Because he says the Rebbe of Lublin. He or his gabbai would give out pieces of hamotzi shirayim. to anyone who's coming to get his bracha on Shabbos. Yadu mirov gedol hador shahiv mashkim ufischo v'nosno b'alkorfu chalecha rabbi yodam. Gyal ha-shulchan ha-yim subim v'shabbos chodesh rach le'erach ha-sara. In other words, there were only 10-12 people at the table. That's the thing. At his table. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't big tables. The Rebbe's table. Everyone else was just standing there. Shadain omim chobo. So he says most of the people in those days at the Tish, he got the Shirayim in their hand because there was no place to put it. See, the Tish and I used to go to, they have tables there, so it was very simple. Put it in front of the table, on the table, in front of the guy. But he says, but in the Munkach Rebbe, they didn't have big tables. So most of the people must have gotten the bread directly in their hand. Where else are you going to put it? There's no table. Where are you going to shove it in his pocket? Where are you going to put it on the floor in front of him? What are you going to do? So he says, it must have been. They handed it.
Put in the table in front of the Rebbe and take it from the table. Rebbe's sitting at a table. I'm coming
up. Yeah, the Rebbe's sitting at a table, but I guess it's very crowded. It's for everyone to come up there to...
Listen, if it's so important, I'm sure they would make an arrangement, so it shouldn't look like a
thing. You're right. But he says, so he claims that a lot of Goyim and Tzadikim, he writes here, that weren't Nisr. So therefore he said, he wants to look into this. So he says, he never shas you, shalom, called Joshua's Chazalo, Nirmas, Remas, Remimas, Vishum Mokar. He says, you don't really find a mocker for this, only in the Rambam. And Rak, Kamuva, Nimtza B'divrei Rambam, Beis Yosef, or David Avudraham, Hosiv Haremez, Prubas Mosim, Nosim, Avulakosim, Prihisiyom V'yodem, Chubas Arashba, Kosim Shalom Motzim Mekorom, Mekanin Shem Nimtza B'Bahag, the Bahag has it, the Heshiv, Harash, Midirachachom, whom, and Bavadu, Mokom Yadu, Hayolo, Shachachti, Yosu. Then he quotes the Berak Abayis. So these are. This is different Makaras. Okay, so let's see what else that we didn't mention here. Oh, so there is a piece in the Hesoros Tshuva. But it's interesting, if you look in the... So the Mukasha says that a lot of people didn't keep this minhag.
What happens if I
want to
pass that down the table?
Meaning it's on a tray, and you're just passing the tray down.
Let's say I want to pass a piece of challah to somebody at the end. So could I give it to the person next to me, but the last masira has to be?
No, I think not. I think all the masiras.
So all the masiras?
All the masiras shouldn't be miyad liyat, because that's a minhag of avelus.
I think I can hear that maybe it's the person who's actually
going to
eat it.
Right.
Is this just once the bread is cut for the first time? Meaning if somebody wants bread later on in the meal, do I also have to do this?
Yeah. You put it on his plate or you put it in front of him.
I would hope most of us use trays to pass bread around, go hand, pass it hand to hand.
Yeah, but not after the first cutting.
I just washed my hands. I'm not too worried about it.
Not after the first cutting. I'll tell you at my table, and maybe I have to correct this. The first time I sent it around, there's not that many people at my table these days, but so I sent it around with a tray. But then after that, if one guy asks for bread, if two people are sitting next to each other, hey, could you pass me a piece of bread? So what's the guy probably going to do? He's probably just going to grab it with his hand from the tray, and he'll just kiss it to the guy. But now you're saying, hey, next time I'm going to a meal, we have to be mindful that every time somebody asks you, hey, could you pass me a piece of bread?
I'll take it. I'll either cut it for him and put it in front of him, or I'll take the tray and he'll take off the tray. I'll never give direct.
Even it's also hard, this whole minhag, and I'm glad Munkach already spoke what he did. It's like, what percentage of your life are you in the bailiffs? What percentage of your life do you have Hanukkah? Well, it happens every year. The
Avelis
doesn't happen every year.
Yeah, Baruch Hashem. But it's still a minhag of Avelis, but it happens every year for somebody. So it's a minhag of Avelis, even though it's not for you, Baruch Hashem. But in the Welt, it's you could say that about.
Anybody's life. Unfortunately, we live in a world that everyone's going to have to experience Avelis most likely one time in their life or another. But it's such a small percentage of your life. Like how do you know it's a...
But still, it exists in the world. But he sees...
I'm sure Avelis is not only just Shiva, it's a whole year for the father.
No, we just said
it. The question is, this idea that the Rambam says in Minhag Avel, would it be all Yud Veis Chodesh, or would it only be Tach Shiva?
We said Tach Shiva.
Right, I'm saying he's questioning.
I can hear that a little bit more. He
could question. But he says, the Maisa, he says, he sees tzaddikim that are not makbir in this, the Munkach Rebbe says. And he says, I'll call upon him, he writes on page 17, came with Arizal, Lohiskim, Mizem, Uma. It's interesting, you know, like in the literature belt, you know, the Arizal's not from the, you know, main Makoros that the people are going to quote. But Arizal is a source of added Menhagim. And he says, it's not quoted in Arizal. Vagam Habal Shem Tov, Talmidov, Harata of Hema, Rabbeinu Kuli Amu Vaday Hayubiki Yosef Midvarim Skula. It's some type of school. They were Bucky, and Rakulai Al Pisol. We came in Shalok Hatzvu Klal Vinshtaka Dover Eitzah Olam. So they didn't write it down. The Baal Shem Tov didn't write it down. His Talmidim didn't write it down. Al Kein Shabri Nachum Haminu Rabbeinu Nizkar Leil Shalok Hishkichu. So he says he thinks it's a valid minhag that not to be makpid, as the Gemara says. The kapit kabdinan b'hadei, the lo kapit lo kabdinan b'hadei. Because if you're not makbid, so then you don't have to worry. Ulai b'zman harambam hayu makbidim al kacha. Al kei kasu v'kavu b'hel chosef. They shall v'yinu echa ha-makbid k'derach sh'noslim lo'ovel.
So if Reuben is a guest by Shimon, and Reuben doesn't want to receive it, he doesn't want to ayin hara, but Shimon is not makbid. It depends on the minute of the receiver.
Yeah, he says if you're not makbid, then you...
No, if I'm makbid,
if you're makbid, then you
should... I'm a guest by a chosid. I should tell him not to give it to me.
If you're the receiver.
Yeah.
And
it's not Shabbos.
Yeah.
Anytime, yeah. And it's a dafka chalak, what about a piece of slice of pizza?
Because pizza is challah, is bread.
And a slice of cake.
Slice of cake is the pasta of a kistin. There's also okay.
Yeah.
Okay, there's one more problem, maybe we'll leave that for tomorrow. The last tshuva here, the Zoras tshuva. So we'll leave that for tomorrow, might take a little time. He discusses about the minhag of throwing challah. I tell you, the Sephardim, the Syrians, the Sephardim, they throw challah, right? Right, Yehuda, they throw. You see,
these are awesome.
Right, so that's why tomorrow we have to see why the Syrian community holds that it's not Bizei Ochlam to throw the... But real Svartisha family, you know, real Hesa Syrians or something like that. You go to Shabbos, they throw the challah. So there's a tshuva in the Soros tshuva. Soros tshuva is one of my favorite songs. So I don't think, in your family, did you ever see this Yehuda?
I'm trying to remember if my father definitely didn't throw the challah, but I'm trying to remember if my grandfather, I have some vague memory that he once did. Generally, I don't think he did. Yeah. I have some
big
memory that he once did, but I could ask. Could be I was dreaming it. I don't know.
Right, could be.
That is tight.
It's not, yeah. And only your Sephardic grip, not your Ashkenazic grip. Yeah. Okay, so we'll see. He has a tshuva here. We can look at it tomorrow, as a Hashem, and do the next packet as well. Okay, but this is something, you know, that. You know, it was on my mind a long time already, and I never did a full research of the topic till I made this packet, you know, where exactly the minute comes. But it's interesting that you wouldn't have thought the Rambam would, you know, the Rambam is, you know, like what Ramey is saying, superstition, this. The Rambam is usually not the one who's...
into superstition.
Yeah, he's, as I said, he's known as the rationalist. He's known as the rationalist. I remember once Rav Lichtenstein was here for Shabbos, and he said over something from Rav Soloveitchik that they asked Rav Soloveitchik about something the Ramban said. And Rav Soloveitchik answered, the Ramban was a Mekubal. That's what he said. The Ramban, but not the Rambam. Rav Soloveitchik said about this particular thing, three words, the Ramban was a Mekubal. But not the Rambam. So it's interesting that but I have to tell you that the Rambam was a big follower of the Goyim. And that's, you know, the word that Rav, what's his name? Rav Yeshua Cohen. Shas Cohen. You know Shas Cohen? I quote him every once in a while. Usually there's one thing I quote from Shas Cohen that he says over, I think, from Rav Chaim Volozhiner, that all machlokesin in Shas, between Rashi and Tosfos, or all one Yesod. That Tosfos, what does Tosfos do? He asks from this Gemara, but it's against this Gemara. And then he has to come with a teretz to drive the two Gemaras. And a lot of times it could be a doichek. The other approach, because that's called pilpul. Rabbi Rosenzweig once said a Gevaldik Gevor. He said, what's the definition of pilpul? The definition of pilpul means that you're assuming everyone else is assuming everyone else's assumptions. So meaning you have a Gemara in Brachas, you have another Gemara in Shabbos, and now it's a Stira. So the simple thing is, this so good, this other, then the different Shitas, different people, different Shitas. Why do you have to go and now make another Teretz to shtim the two things? Maybe they don't have to shtim. So that's what so Tosfos was the derech ha-pilpul. That you assume everyone else is, like Rabbi Rosenberg, that everyone else is assuming everyone else's assumptions. The Goyim Shita was, and that's how Rashi and the Rambam follow, that it's not, you don't have to, it's two different Shitas. So don't, you don't have to come on with a new Kimta to try to jam in a new shot in this Gemara to make it shtim with the other Gemara. You're working too hard. So Rav Yeshua Cohen says, from Chaim Volozhiner, that all the machlokis in Kemat, in Shas, Rashi and Tosfos, on this Nakuda. Do we say Sugis Chalukos, and I'll call Yovel B'Sholom, or do we jam? We jam, and then we make an Ukimta, more. So that's the whether you hold from the Derech HaPilpul, you don't hold from the Derech HaPilpul.
A lot of times,
Rabbi Nathan
comes up with the
Yesoid,
like a brisker
Yesoid. Yeah, well, yeah, Rabbi, he makes a big Yesoidus, but it's based on the Yesoidus might be brisker Yesoidus, but where he got from it is a lot of times Derech HaPilpul. It's funny you're saying, because the Rambam, you could say a brisker Yesoid, but you don't have to fit it into both Gemaras. But in other words, you. It's surprising that So since the Rambam follows the Gaonim, and the Gaonim, you know, the Bahag had this idea of not doing it, and the Rambam follows the Bahag. So it's not surprising it's in the Rambam from that perspective. It is surprising from what Rameh said before, like the superstitious perspective. But I always follow this idea. Not like the Mokacher, that he's Mulamet Skos. I always tell people not to do any minhagi avails, not to sit on a, you know, if a person's not an oval, to sit on a low chair. Like a lot of times you see in the library, people take those little stools and they sit on the stools. Mamish looks like a person who's sitting shiver. So and my friend once came to my house, he didn't like, you know, people walking around without shoes or something like that, because all types of minhagi. So at our Shabbos table, we're makfir. I mean, not to do that. I'm not saying there's no limud zchus. Look, the Munkacher was limud zchus on the lot of tzaddikim that he felt that were not nisarnis.
But the chatzila, a novel has to sit on the ground. The thing with sitting on a chair, right, it's only a sort of a b'dieved, for real
kind. Yeah, so that's the question.
Does that mean you shouldn't sit on the ground for whatever reason? You shouldn't sit on the floor?
Yeah, I'm not, not to sit on the floor. I mean, if you play with a little kid, you want to sit on the floor. Yeah. But I sit on the floor when I...
Tisha B'Av.
Right, Tisha B'Av.
Well, that, because then we're in Amalek. Yeah.
Then there's a question, I discussed when I was sitting Shiva with Rabbi Willig about, when I sat Shiva, two, three people, I was in the height of COVID when I was sitting Shiva. And so, you know, a couple of people came, you know, local people in my building, a couple of people came, but Ruba the Ruba, I kept a list. Since I didn't see anybody, anyone who called me, I wrote their name down. So like 900 people called, and three people came, you know. So I was discussing with Rabbi Willow, told me he thought, and in those days, the Zoom Shiva was not so common. It was the very beginning of COVID. Now Zoom Shiva is very, very common. It wasn't so much Zoom Shiva. So he thought if there are no Menachemim present, then Meikar Din, you don't even have to sit on the floor. So that much I didn't. But Lamaisa, that's, you know, because they talk about what if you're eating lunch and you're going to a separate room now. Do you also have to sit on the floor during Shiva, or is it only when you're in the presence of the Menachemim? So that's what Rabbi Willow thought. It's really when the Menachemim were there. And then he added to me, and if he thought that if no Menachemim are coming, then maybe Meikar Din you can really sit in a regular chair. If it's not a Zoom thing.
We don't pass me like that for Tisha B'Av, though.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's a question of a Tisha B'Av when you're not in a shul. So what's the,
yeah.
You know, the, but it's an interesting thing.
Is it possible, Rabbi, that the main idea is to set up that an oval should get a dafka by hand, but if everybody gives all the time by hand, there won't be a hecker for the oval?
So the oval should get it by hand, but the words we do not to do it.
It's like sort of an achama.
We want to help the oval. So what's to show that this is a thing?
Open, but when it happens, it's powerful.
Oh, so you say it's not a bad symbol. He says if it became a minhag oval because we wanted the oval to have something special, that we're giving him a special treatment. And if we do it to everybody.
Maybe is expressing.
Maybe that's a possibility. That's interesting.
And if you want to say that, then you could say that when the rebbes would give the challah, they wanted their chassidim to feel special.
Oh. Rav, you say well.
Always.
Okay, so we'll finish that last piece tomorrow, Bez Hashem, from the Hisoros Tshuva, and then we'll go to the next packet. Okay, let me say hello to everybody, Rabbi Levi, Shalom, and Rabbi Kesselman, and Papras, and Jacob Silberger, Harari, Shlita, Rabbi Ron, Natan. Rav David Tanner, Rav Ram Levitt, Asher Kirstein, and your name is?
Jason Levine.
Jason Levine, Rav Ezra Hagla, Rav Ezra Hess. Okay, we should all be well. But this is a topic that I always, because it comes up a lot, you know, like at a Shabbos table. So it's something I've thought about a lot for many years. So I wanted to get down all the Makaris in this packet to see where it comes from and, you know, and what it's all about.
The Rambam in which halachas does he bring this down?
From the Rambam, here, the Rambam is... No, it's interesting, it's not in Hilchas Aveilus. In Hilchas Brachas, Perek Zayin Halacha Hei, which is interesting. Uh-huh. It's not in Hilchas Aveilus.
Uh-huh.
Which is interesting, right? You would think it would be...
I figured it's not
in the Gemara Moed Katan anywhere, right?
Yeah, so then I might not be right. Then.
Yeah, so something to think about. Okay, I've got the robots. Cult of.